Eyes have seen the King, the Lamb upon
His own eyes have seen.
For
eyes have seen the King,
the Lamb. One more time.
The train
one more time.
Of his
we're joining them in
the
heaven.
The train of his throne fills the temple.
Oh, sing it.
Cloud of heavenly worship.
Cloud of heavenly worship.
Anoint our eyes that we might see you, that we might see the King like you did with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And you said, and from the scriptures you expounded all things concerning yourself. Oh Lord, may we see you in your word. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing that's on my heart and my lips. Put it on the ears and the hearts of those who will hear me. Those who are physically present here. Those who will hear me remotely, electronically. So that your word will flow freely from you, Father, through me to your people. To do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to heal, to deliver, to break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. I ask for mercy, Lord, that I will deliver it with precision and redeem the time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, I have today a, keep playing that, but very quietly. So it's not distractive, but it's there, it's in the background, not the foreground. Right. I have a present truth prophetic word. This is not just for scripture pasture, it's for the whole church. And I've entitled it Reigning Righteousness. I've actually preached this some time ago. I can't remember, maybe a year, maybe two, I can't remember. But it is imminent, because we're looking right in this month at the Feast of Tabernacles. The 26th of December is Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is trumpets, where they blow the shofar announcing the beginning of a new year. A new Shemitah cycle begins this year. Shemitah cycles are 7-year cycles that God instituted in ancient Israel. Those cycles are still in operation. One thing we need to understand is that, yes, Jesus, the New Testament, has put away the ceremonial observances of the Old Testament, the killing of animals, the washing, divers washing, all that's gone. However, the prophetic significance of the feasts still remain in the New Testament. It is interesting, wonderful, and instructive to observe. Jesus was born smack on the day of he died on Passover. He couldn't have died a day before or after in order to fulfill the prophetic pattern. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. It didn't come the day before or the day after. So shall it be now. The outpouring of the latter and the former rain together, what we call the Spirit without measure, will be fulfilled sometime inside the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the difference between Tabernacles and the two previous feasts, Passover is on a specific day. Pentecost was on a specific day. Tabernacles is spread. It begins with trumpets, what our Jewish brethren call Rosh Hashanah. Then we have the Day of Atonement, which is 10 days later, which happens to be, I think, October 5, you know, this year, which is the Day of Atonement and is known as Yom Kippur among our Jewish brethren. And then we have the Sukkot, which is the Feast of Tabernacles proper. It starts on the 15th day of the 7th month, you know, which will be 5 days after Day of Atonement, which is about maybe October 10. No, I have to check, because you have to synchronize the Gregorian calendar that we use with the Jewish calendar. And then that lasts for 7 days. Now, certain days are significant. All the days are important. The Bible tells us in the book of John, it's an historical account, but it has prophetic signals. It says about the middle of the feast, he went up. So let's see what's going to happen. Now, you can see you can't tie it to a day or hour, because it's not third day, it's not fourth day, it's about the middle. Then the Bible says in the last day, the great day of the feast, that Jesus stood on Christ saying, if any man thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So what I'm saying in short is that we don't know the exact day or hour, but we expect that in this season of the Feast of Tabernacles, there will be a fresh outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the church that will be greater. That's what they just sung, that David Ingalls sung many years ago, that the latter and the former reign together in a measure that we've never seen before. It's going to be without measure. Now, I'm going to say this, and I say this not to discourage you, but to tell you the truth and to motivate you to press in. If we miss this Feast of Tabernacles, it's until the next year again. God will not do it outside the Feast of Tabernacles. Take that to the bank. Because God moves in times and seasons. Passover was during Passover. Pentecost, Tabernacle is going to be during the Feast of Tabernacles. The only thing is that we don't know the exact day now. So we're trusting God that it is going to be this year. And the Bible says, that's why the scripture says, watch this, that we should hasten. And I now understand better what he meant in the book of Ephesians, where it says redeeming the time, it's actually redeeming the years. Because once you miss one year, you have to get another year's next one. When the Bible talks about times, it's not just talking about seconds and minutes. It, of course, there's an application there. But he's talking about years. Because the Bible says seven times. When the Bible talks about time, it's talking about years. So we're redeeming the time. We can't afford another year without the manifestation of the glory of God. Too many people will die. Too much suffering is going to take place. So we're trusting. So what do? We press in. I'll give you a historical perspective from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus understood these things perfectly. So, when the time came for him to die, the disciples didn't understand it properly. You know, so he just gave them hints. He just said, look, he called Peter and John and he said, go and prepare Passover. Find a room, you know. So they had the Last Supper. He said, with desire, I want to eat this thing with you. Because I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine again until when I drink it afresh in the kingdom. Then he gave them an instruction they didn't understand at the time. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He knew exactly that it was going to happen in only 10 days. But he didn't tell them that. He just told them. And then he gave them instructions. Tarry doesn't just mean wait passively. It means wait actively. So they obeyed. They had an upper room. And, you know, there was Peter, James, and John and all the 12 minus Judas. They chose another person. Then they brought in all their disciples, which would include, of course, the 12 and the 70 who had been anointed before and some extra brethren, including Mary, the mother of the Lord, who we, our Catholic brethren, call the Holy Mother, and we call her the Holy Mother too, you know, and his brothers who didn't believe in him when he was here, you know, when he was on earth, and all of them, and the Bible says they continued in prayer and supplication with one accord. One accord means they had one purpose. It was in that atmosphere of united prayer that the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. It's not any different now. Today we don't have a physical location. You know, we've got Good Morning in Jesus. We've got 4 hour where we pray. We pray on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, all night. What I'm saying to you very simply is this. In these days that are ahead, make sure you press in. Into prayer. In one accord. We're not praying for prosperity. We're praying for the latter rain. We're praying for the former and the latter rain together. Hence, I have been instructed to bring this prophetic word to the church at such a time as this. Just like the Lord Jesus did, I'm following and mimicking Jesus. He explained things to his disciples and then he showed them from the scriptures. After his resurrection, he had a 40-day prophetic seminar. And he expounded to them things concerning the kingdom out of the scriptures. It was out of those things that he shared with them that motivated them to pray. And that was how they were praying, you know. And then 10 days to something, he ascended to heaven. Then 10 days after he came. If he taught them for 40 days, wherein... Today is September 4. You know, September 26 is down the road, you know, which is, you know, 20-something days from now. Then you've got Yom Kippur, you know, then you've got the Feast of Tabernacles. Looking at that same period of time, probably a little bit more, you know, in 20, 30, 40 days, you know. The important thing is you need to listen carefully to what I'm about to share with you and then start practicing it. Many of these things, many of us are already doing them. So I'm going to speak to you like Jesus spoke to the church at Ephesus. Hold fast that which you have. Press in. Because I believe this. I believe we have the critical mass, which is the number, for the Old Testament, sorry, for the church, the early church, it was 120 to fulfill the picture in 2 Chronicles chapter 5. It was 120 priests that were blowing trumpets, but that was for actually the Feast of Tabernacles. But the trumpets, Pentecost was a forerunner to tabernacles. I've shared this with you prophetically over the years. The trumpets of the tongues of Pentecost will now become the trumpets of tabernacles. So right now, as you're praying in tongues and all of that, you're blowing trumpets, we're worshiping God. One crucial ingredient in all of this is one accord. Everybody say one accord. We should all have one mind, one purpose. When you're not just praying for material, that's just on the side. But the main thing is we want to see the glory of God in manifestation. So you want to press in and be praying. We're already doing it. Many of us here in Scripture Pasture are already doing it. But I also want to warn us. I don't know if I can call it a warning. I want to inform us, because it's not a negative thing, that we're not the only ones. God is raising up people all over the earth. The church in Nigeria and here is going to be a pioneer, but it's not going to be exclusive to us. It will be a big mistake. Elijah said, oh, I'm the only one. Jesus said, I got 7,000. You know. And if you look at the typology, all is not in my notes. I'm speaking purely by the Spirit. You know, I'll get to my notes in a minute. You know, if you look at the Gideon's army, Gideon's army and Noah's ark symbolize an end time army or group of saints of about the number of 300. The great thing about it is that they are connected by the Spirit. And if you look at Gideon's army, there were 100 people who were physically with Gideon. But there were two other companies that were not in the same physical location as Gideon. Today, that will speak of some of our other brethren who may not be here physically with us in Scripture Pasture or wherever, you know, but maybe in other locations, you know, some may be. Personally, I believe that we're majority. I can't be exclusive on it because I'm not God and I don't know everything. And it's when it happens, we will know. But I'm going to say this like Paul said it, you know, I give my opinion as one that has had the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I believe it's going to be made of three main groups in the church. Nigerian church, or the church in Nigeria, that is the what characterizes these groups of people are three major things. Number one, they have made the decision to walk in love. Love is fundamental, because all the praying in tongues will only be effective to the degree that you have made a decision to walk in love and you are practicing it. Number two, they are praying daily for humility of heart to receive the spirit, increased spirit of wisdom and revelation. You can't do without that. Number three, they're praying in the spirit. Tongues, groanings, and all of that. That there are things that characterize this army of people. So you have a company in Nigeria, I believe. You will have a company in England, and you're going to have a company in America. These three nations contain the vanguard of the end time move of God. Now, there are Christians all over the world, don't misunderstand me, but they have the correct understanding of the prophetic perspective of what God is doing. And it's so because of historical reasons. Nigeria is the nation beyond the rivers of the earth which rivers divide. There's the scripture for that. But apart from the scripture, you find that, you know, Nigeria, you know, particularly in the last 30, 40 years, you know, God got people like myself and many other people, you know, they got them born again through the Holy Spirit, especially on the campuses, the students. A lot of people have gone the wrong way, like Saul, Jonathan, and David, you know, but some people have stayed with it, you know, and understood the prophetic purpose of God for the church in Nigeria, and they've been faithful at it. So you have a company in Nigeria. You have a company in England. I don't know them. I don't know them, you know, one-on-one. A strange thing happened with Pastor Wally and I in London just last week. We went to a shop to buy something. So we're looking for the person who is the shop attendant, you know. And finally, this man comes up. He's in Kent. So we started to ask him about, you know, this and that, you know. And the answer, okay. Then he suddenly looks at us and said, "Are you guys Christians?" I said, "Yes." I said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "I knew it." White guy. He said, "I knew it." He said, "I could tell." Then he began to talk. Inside the shop. How God saved him. God through the Holy Spirit. He told me about the church he attends. You know, how they pray in the Spirit. And I was just looking. I was so blessed. I said, "God, so you have your people." God, just it was just a witness in the most unlikely place. You know, in England, you don't talk religion, they will sack you. That's why he asked, "Are you Christians?" before he started talking. See, I've not mentioned the name of the shop deliberately. Or even what I went to buy. I've not mentioned it. There's nobody that can trace him. Because ordinarily, you know, in that climb, if you start doing that, they can say, "Oh, you are harassing the customers," you know, and all of that. Very serious, deeply rooted Christian, working in that place, white man. I say, "Eh, God was trying to tell me, you see." I even told him about the ministry. I told him he could see us on YouTube. Good morning. I told him everything. So he said, "Okay, he'll go and look at." Told me about his own pastor, you know, and they have an independent church. They're not in Assemblies of God. They're not in anything. They're just like us. Then the United States. And it's for historical reasons, because God is a covenant-keeping God. I said this, I think, last week. Before I travel, you know, there are three nations that are not going to go down. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many people are marching on Oxford Street or are marching down Fifth Avenue in New York and, you know, saying all kinds of silly things, LGBTQ, and God has a remnant. And God is going to be faithful to that remnant. Don't be deceived by the noisy minority. There is a holy majority. Who are praying. And all these things are there. They made a decision to perfect the love of God. I know disciples of Kenneth Hagin will be doing this. I know disciples of Kenneth Copeland will be doing it. Because that's where I learned it from. So I know there will be people like that. I don't know them. I can't tell you this where they are. But I know they will be there. And they'll be praying in the Spirit. So you're going to have a company, you know, here. Another company in the UK. Another company in the US. And maybe there'll be other people, Canada, some other places, little, you know. Only God knows all of that. But I'm just saying the major thing. And what will unite us is purpose. One accord. To bring the glory of God down. And they're there as I'm talking now. They're fasting, they're praying. We are here, we're fasting, we're praying. So what am I saying to us? You know, press in. Hasten. We must not miss this Feast of Tabernacles. If we miss it, it's until next year. Because it must happen, Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus knew that. That's why Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem taught them things from the scriptures concerning the kingdom. That's why on the day of Pentecost, Peter had a sermon from Joel, which is where I'm going to in a minute. He had a sermon from Joel that Jesus had taught them during those 40 days. And it was on the basis of those scriptures that were making intercession. So when it happened on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, "This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel." So all that is just an introduction. I'm not talking to anybody here. I'm giving you a present truth prophetic word. Everybody go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea. Am I talking to anybody here? I said, am I talking to anybody here? He says, "So to yourself." Everybody read after me. Say, "So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time." You can say, "It is the year." "It is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon him." This prophetic truth is being fulfilled as I speak now. As I'm talking now, that rain has already started. But it's drizzling now. A deluge is about to come. You know, when it starts raining, it won't just, it will first of all drizzle. Then the rain will not increase in intensity. That's what I'm going to be teaching and preaching about. What is this rain? It is the pouring out of the blood of Jesus and the life of God from a perfect leadership, or a leadership that is walking in perfection, to a fully submitted followership who are following, got that from our Bible study, who are mimicking them, who are imitating them. This prophetic picture is clearly shown in Psalm 133. Let's go there. Psalm 123. And let's look at verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, "A song of degrees." I didn't hear you. "Of David. Behold." Open your mouth, somebody. "Behold." I'll say it where I can hear it. Uh-huh, that's better. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Remember the book of Acts. One accord. Unity. "It is," that is the effect of it, "like the precious ointment or anointing upon the head that round down the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. Everyone under that leadership will experience the flow." The other day I was teaching us about the bride of Christ. You know, everybody in the body that will experience it, sadly, because they won't make the consecration and they're not vessels of honor, you know. I think I said it here. I also said it during the conference. You know, isn't it amazing, you know, how without Paul having the knowledge of science that we have today, doesn't have knowledge of science. He said, "In a great house, there are many vessels. There's gold, there's silver, there's wood and earth." And today, with the knowledge of electricity, we know gold and silver will conduct electricity and wood and earth are insulators. What does that mean? If you look at the church is made up of many vessels. Vessels speaks of our physical bodies. Some of our physical bodies will conduct the life of God. The life of God can manifest through them. In other people who have not dealt with the flesh, who have not consecrated themselves, they have not, you know, the sin nature is still heavily there. They are insulators. So you know what's going to happen? When that anointing is poured out on the leadership, on the head, the perfect leadership, you know, it will go down. It should go to everybody, but it won't. Because everywhere that is an insulator, just like electricity, it will only pass through the place of conduction. It will not pass through the insulators. That's physics. But it is invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's what's going to happen. It's not a question of begging God. It's not a question of, if you don't deal with your flesh to some degree, you don't have to be perfect. But what it means is that you have to have made up your mind. You need to be made the decision, the consecration, and then you've started practicing. That's all God requires. Once you start working in, grace and mercy will come and strengthen you. So that when that thing comes, you will not be bypassed. Because you will be gold or silver or something that can conduct the life of God and not an insulator, wood or earth. I didn't write the scriptures, folks. It's truth that is there. Are you listening to me? So it will flow. You know, the leadership perfected. Watch this. I wrote this down in the morning when I was praying. You know, leadership perfected the love of God. Followership perfecting the love of God. Everybody say, leadership would have perfected the love of God. Followership will be perfecting the love of God. So if you want to be a part of this thing, you have to have started perfecting. You don't necessarily have to be perfect, but you have to have started perfecting the love of God. What does it mean to perfect the love of God? It means to allow the love of God to run its full course through your entire system on a daily basis. So the love of God starts in your spirit. It goes into your by the blood of Jesus, you receive more of the life of God into your spirit. That's why you need the blood, the word, and the spirit. So it goes into your spirit, more of it. Then from your spirit, through your reading of the Bible, confession of God's word, meditation, and all of that, it goes into your will and to your mind. Then from your will and your mind, through praying in tongues, it moves to your emotions. From your emotions into your physical body. And from your physical body, it goes into your environment. Once it does that journey, every day, you are perfecting the love of God. And if you keep perfecting the love of God, over time, you become perfected. Because it will begin to remove the spots, the wrinkles, and all of those things. Because it's running through your system on a daily basis. Are you following me? So it is those who are the leadership that has perfected the love of God. And the followership that is perfecting the love of God. The blood of Jesus will be flowing from that leadership to remit the sins of the people under their that are submitted to them. Remit their sins, you know, because they'll be, you see, let me be very practical. Let me use myself. So if I talk about somebody else now, they will fight with me. So let me use myself. Hello, somebody. If I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God, and I do this by the grace and the mercy of God, I get up early in the morning, I pray. You understand? You know, when I say, I confess our sins. I'm not talking about Olubi alone. That would include Sarah, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, then all of you, my spiritual children, who are under my sphere of influence. That thing will not only cleanse me, to cleanse all of you. Then when I say, in Jesus' name we have life, it doesn't come to me alone. It's distributed. So long as you are open, you will get it. That's why you have to be fully submitted. If you are closed, even though I sent it, it won't enter. If your attitude is wrong, if your attitude is right, you're open like that, what I have said and I'm praying will percolate down and it will enter you. Not only are we releasing the blood of Jesus, we're also releasing the life of God. The life of God I'm releasing will flow from Jesus through me, joints and bands, having, you know, not holding the head, you know, you know, the whole Colossians 2 verse 19. I preached this some time ago on joints, parts, and bands. You know, so what I'm getting from Jesus as I'm praying, some of it is used for me, of course, for my growth. And then some of it is, it goes down. Goes down. Goes to the pastors. From the pastors, it goes to the, all the rest of you. Now, how much you get depends on your attitude. And the degree to which you are following. If you're following, you get it. That's the picture. Look at the next verse. As the dew of Hermon, I didn't hear you. As the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. The perfect church. We looked at this last time, talking about the bride of Christ. For there, ask your neighbor, there where? What there is he talking about? He's talking about that church that has a perfect leadership and a totally submitted. There, in that system. In that bride, Zion, there. He said, the Lord has commanded the blessing. And what is that blessing? Zoe. Watch this. That life is the rain. So, as the volume of water, Bible calls it living water. As the volume of water that is coming from the Lord Jesus Christ via the leadership, to the fully submitted soul, as that volume increases, the rain will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, it will go from a drizzle to a deluge. This is present truth. It's already drizzling as I'm talking to you. The rain has already started. But God now wants us to increase the volume of it, you know, to get to become a deluge by the time we get into the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, let's quickly review. These are things we know already, but I'm just going to go through them very, very quickly. Look at 1 Hebrews chapter 13. Perfecting of the love of God is by three agents. One, the blood. Two, the word. Three, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a three combination lock. You cannot do without any of them. If any of them is not in place, it will not happen. You need the three of them. And I have scripture. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, again, that brought the Lord Jesus Christ, that great show, through the blood. Everybody say through the blood. Oh, you didn't say it like somebody who is convinced. You know, if they are sprinkling blood on the expressway now, you will shout. I would say, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Next verse, verse 21. Make you perfect. Let's just stop there. It is through the blood he's going to make you perfect. You cannot perfect the love of God without the blood of Jesus. Somebody says, why? I'm perfect. He's a liar. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth. He's not even talking about sins that we commit. He's talking about sins that we have. He's talking about sin nature. Then if we say we have not sinned, he said, but if we walk in the light as he is, that is, if we are honest, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. You cannot perfect the love of God without the blood of Jesus. Because the sin nature in your soul and in your body that will now cause acts of sin will act as a block. They will block the flow. So you need the constant flow of the blood of Jesus to keep cleansing you. It's not a one-time thing. It's a continuous cleansing. That's one of the reasons why God said we should keep the commandment of life and love, you know, four times a day, every 6 hours. The thing, you know, within the next 6 hours, sin has accumulated in some people. Hello? So we have to clean again. Then we clean again. Then we clean again. So that the life can continue to flow. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. To will and to do of his good pleasure. Are you listening to me? The next thing is the word. Look at 1 John. Chapter 2. Verse 5. Pastor Jesus, isn't it amazing how precise the word of God is? It's so precise. It gives you no wiggle room. For either your unbelief or your rebellion. Because it's there in black and white, you can't deny. Some things are hidden knowledge. Some things are revelation that you can't deny it. Look at what he said. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the law of God perfected. I like the word verily. It means that it is possible to be perfecting the law of God in a false way. Without the word of God, you cannot perfect the love of God. Impossible. That's why in 1 John, this same 1 John, I won't turn there, I'll just mention it. In chapter 5, he said, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Where are the commandments? In the word of God. I cannot walk in love, talk less of perfected, without the word of God. That's why you must meditate. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8, thank God. Give Papa Hagin a super clap offering. That's not a super clap offering. Then give E.W. Kenyon a super clap offering. Those two men, God used them at the turn of the century. After the Holy Spirit came and all of that. You know, Kenneth Hagin was a little bit later. E.W. Kenyon was older than Kenneth Hagin. In one of E.W. Kenyon's books, I think it was The Hidden Man of the Heart, but it's in a lot of his books. He said, 1 Corinthians 13, he said, I think I have found the secret of developing the human spirit. I reckon Hagin got a lot of this stuff from. You say, we find in 1 Corinthians 13. You cannot develop your human spirit, the word of God. You cannot develop your spirit and the love of God in your heart if you do not meditate, confess, you know, the word of God, particularly about the characteristics of love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious. You must say it, pray it into your system. So it is in your will, it is in your mind, it's in your emotions. It reprograms you completely. Then on top of 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, which is foundational, you must now know the Bible. That's why you read your Bible every day. So that when you face a situation, the wisdom of how God will behave in that situation will come to you from your knowledge of how God did something similar in some account of the Bible. Without the word of God, you cannot perfect the love of God. Don't be deceived. The love of God is not use your human emotion. We said it over and over and over again, and I'll keep saying it's a great revelation God gave me. Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God. What is love? Love is discerning by the wisdom that comes from God's word, feeling by the compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit, and doing by the power that comes from God's life, what God would do in every situation because God is love. It is God that defines love. It is not love that defines God. We have our own funny definitions of love, then we try and define God with that. No! It is God who defines love. And that's why you cannot perfect the love of God without the word of God, because you will not have the wisdom that God would have in that situation. There's so many things that have become clearer and clearer and clearer to me. Let me just give an example. I have to quickly rush. You know, I remember when Aaron's sons died. Nadab and Abihu. Aaron had 5 sons. He had other sons. But these two, they were very presumptuous. You know what they did? And you know, Pastor G, our people are still doing the same thing today. Nothing has happened yet because the glory hasn't come. When the glory comes, it's going to be a completely different ballgame. You know, they began to offer strange fire. It was fire, oh. But it was strange. There's a lot of strange fire in the church today. You know, the Bible says the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them. God told Aaron and Moses. Moses told her, said, don't let me see you cry. Don't you dare cry. You know, human being. He lost his sons. You should cry. In that situation, that was not the love of God. You know why? Those boys were presumptuous and they knew the right thing to do. So God was not sympathetic. You got to understand God. This same Aaron. See, God sees your heart, folks. This same Aaron was the guy who built the golden calf. So there were all those funny things there. That's why you have to discern by the wisdom that comes from the word of God. I just give that as an example. See, God is not the sentimental Father Christmas that a lot of people think he is. He's not. He's very loving. He's very kind. I gave you the example the other day. When they crossed through the Red Sea, Dathan, Abiram and Korah were part of the company. God didn't say, "Oh, you this funny one." Because their rebellion had started from then. There are the people who are shouting, "They were there no graves in Egypt. That you should bring us to the Red Sea. That the Egyptians are behind us." They were shouting at Moses. Rebelling. Right there. That's down where God should have. But God's not like that. God endures long and is patient and kind. So when the Red Sea opened, God didn't say, "All those who complain, they stay on this side." Only the guys with everybody passed through. He dealt with them later because they didn't repent. Nadab and Abihu were the sons of Aaron. They knew all the instructions that God had given their father. They had told about the garments of the priest, the anointing, you know, the anointing oil, the way you're supposed to offer your offering. What they did deliberately in rebellion. So God slew them instantly and he won their father. See, most people don't know God to that degree. That's why they're looking at me funny. And you know what? He has not undergone therapy. Between the New and Old Testament, he's still the same God. He's never changed. He's never changed. That's why you need to know the word of God. So you will know how to respond in different situations. And don't just respond out of human sentiment. That's not the love of God. Number three, the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 John. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, hallelujah! Look at 1 John chapter 4. And look at verses 12 and 13. If you're still on my side, give me a wave offering. Then give the Lord a clap offering. That's just to wake you up. Glory be to God. Some people were sleeping. Can you believe? How can you sleep in this kind of message? 1 John chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, if we practice this love of God, cleansing with the blood, asking life, praying in tongues for each other. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. That means God is active. He's not dormant. You know, God is in every Christian. All of us are temple of the Holy Spirit. But in many people, God is dormant. He's not active. So God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected. It's running its full course on a daily basis. It's going from our spirit. The love of God is going to our soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. It's going into our bodies. It's going to our circumstances. And it's enabling us to behave like God in every circumstance and situation. That's how it's perfected. And as it is being perfected in us, that is, as it's running its full course to us, it's gradually making us more and more perfect. You know, I learned this, and I want to give glory to honor to one from Kenneth Copeland. It was Kenneth Copeland. I read his book, Walking in the Realm of the Miraculous. It's 1980, 42 years ago. Kenneth Copeland preached what I believe is one of the greatest messages he has ever preached. On life, light, and love. He preached at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting in 1980. I came from England, you know, to go to that camp meeting. And God had begun to deal with me about these same things. So when I came and I heard Kenneth Copeland, I said, "God, that man has stolen my message." And God laughed and said, "It's not my message, it's not your message, it's not his message, it's my message." Of course, because he was more mature than me, you know, it confirmed, clarified, and amplified what I already knew. One of the things that, then he wrote a book based on that message. you know, walking around the miraculous. And inside that book, that's where he talked about this concept. He said, the love of God is being perfect. He said, it doesn't mean you are perfect. He said, it's just running its full course through you. Then I went to study it more deeply. You know something, Pastor G? You need fathers who. You can read that scripture for a million years. You won't see it. But because I got a key from Kenneth Copeland, it opened that scripture. And then God gave me more. The love of God is runs its full course. Then as it's doing that, it gradually perfects you. And this agency now is by the Spirit. Verse 13. Hereby. You know, it's English. My wife is not here. I know she's watching online. You know, she's a PhD in English. Hereby means it is by this love being perfected in us. Hereby. By this. That we know that we dwell in him and he in us. In other words, we know, watch this, we know we are active in him and he's also act, not dormant. You see, all Christians dwell in him and he in them. But it is not in all Christians that he is active. You've got to have that revelation. So what he's saying here is that hereby we know that we are actively dwelling in him and he is actively dwelling in us because he has given us the by Spirit. You know what? It is by the Spirit we are perfecting the love of God. That's why I said hereby. You have to connect it to the previous verse. So these three scriptures show us without a shadow of a doubt that the love of God is perfected by, everybody say, the blood, the word, and the Spirit. And I want to tell you something, there is no other way. Don't do it like this, it's not going to work. The three combination lock. You know, I hear people talking about, you know, power and, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and you know, word of knowledge. You find a lot of people are talking about, you know, you hardly hear them talk about love. That tells me they're not doing it the right way. You know what Paul said? I show you a more excellent way. If you want the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God in your life, the way to get it is the way of love. Watch this. If you try and get it any other way, Satan will accommodate you and you will operate with familiar spirits. And that is endemic in the church today. Because they don't go the way of love. And they are still trying to get power. And then they get power. And you know, and then you wonder, well, the guy has power, but the guy is proud. The guy loves titles. You know, his heart isn't right. The depth of revelation is very, very, very shallow. Yet there is power. Who is it coming from? People think, whoa, if something comes to pass and it works, it means God is there. No. Deuteronomy chapter 13. That if there is a prophet or a dreamer among you, and he prophesies, and it comes to pass. He says, but it leads you into idolatry, which today is covetousness. He said, don't be afraid of him. It's not from God. Therefore, the Lord thy God is testing your heart to see if you love him or not, or whether you will follow something just because there is power and money there. The trap that has caught so many of our people. We're trusting God that with this vision of the glory, their eyes will open and they will repent and come out from it. He said, come out from amongst her so that you'll be a partaker of her sins. Am I talking to anybody here? Glory be to God. So, that is the rain that is coming. Now, why is this? It is to ripen the seed of God's word that has been planted in our human soul, in the mind, the will, and the emotions. God wants a harvest of righteousness. The seed is already there. We've been praying, we've been watering and all that. So he wants extra rain, this extra great measure of the life of God, the Spirit without measure, to come upon our hearts. And then that will now bring forth a great harvest of the fruit of the Spirit inside the church. It's just like in the natural. You know, all farmers know this. You know, in Israel, they had two seasons. You know, you have one rain, that's what we call the former rain, is light. It just to soften the earth so you can put the seed inside. Then there are months of dryness. Then before the harvest, a few months before the harvest, then the heavy rains will come. Those heavy rains now will ripen and mature the seed that is inside the earth. So that at the end of the rain, they can now harvest. So it is spiritually. We have already received the seed of the new birth and baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about love and all of that. We've been planting the seed, we've been watering. God now wants a deluge of the rain of righteousness in great measure that will now bring forth a mighty harvest of righteousness. Look at Joel. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, glory be to God. Joel. Oh, where in the world are we? Yeah. Let me just read it as I have it here. To ripen the seed of God's word that has been planted in the human soul. Notice I didn't say spirit. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And the body. That's where the problem is. The word of God has been planted there. To bring forth a harvest of saints, perfecting the love of God, a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, where it tells us, you know, that he might cleanse it by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing, by the consistent, and I put that consistent in capitals, application of the word, of the blood rather, the word and the spirit daily, every 6 hours, and as often as led by the spirit, watch this, to remove spots, blemishes, wrinkles, and any such thing, watch this, as instantly as they show up. You see, that's what, the perfect church is not made of everybody perfect. No. The leadership. Then there's a fully submitted follower that's following them. But because of the blood of Jesus and the life of God that is flowing in such great measure from that leadership, and the followership are receiving it because their hearts are totally opened, you know, what happens is that whenever spots come, and they do come, you know, this guy makes a mistake, immediately it's cleansed. Instantly. Wrinkles, immediately. So whenever you look at the church, you won't see any spot, blemish, or wrinkle. That's the practical. It's a great revelation God gave me. That's the reality. It's going to be, that's why he describes it like that in Psalm 133. It is like, the thing is flowing from the top. And what's coming from the top is going around the whole body. The wrinkles are, you know, the people are not totally perfect like Peter, James, and John. But whatever their imperfections are, you know what Jesus told Peter? He said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Hello, somebody. So the life of God, the blood of Jesus, is constantly cleansing. It's constantly removing. So when you look at it, you won't see any spot. If the spot occurs, instantly it's dealt with. These are not the kind of people who will hold grudge for 20 years. Or for 2 weeks. Or for 5 minutes. Immediately they'll say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Blood cleanses it. So if you look at them, you won't see the spot. He doesn't, the spots, the blemishes, the wrinkles, they never last. So when you're looking at it, you always see a glorious church. Having no spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Practically, that's how it's going to happen. Am I talking to anybody here? Glory be to God. Woo! Hallelujah! Fulfilling Joel chapter 2, verse 23. Now, let's go there. We're going to be closing soon. Hello, we need this prophetic teachings. This is what Jesus did with the disciples. Between the resurrection and the ascension, this is what he did in preparing them for the imminent feast of Pentecost. I, yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me, I'm doing the same thing. I'm giving you these prophetic teachings between now and the Feast of Tabernacles for the imminent outpouring of the Spirit without measure. It's going to be a very serious matter. People don't understand. Some people don't even believe what we're talking about. It was just like in the days of Noah. Noah was building the ark. He finished the ark. Then he began to say, okay, let all the animals come in. And he began to beg his friends and his neighbors and other people around him. Ah, please come inside here. He said, oh, has there ever been rain on the earth? There's something wrong with you. You know, will it ever be? You know, they didn't listen to him. I think it was Kenneth Copeland that I heard say this. This is the Father Revelation. You know what he said? This was years ago. I heard him say this. He said that if they had listened to Noah, there would not have been one ark. There would have been many arks. All the families would have built arks. And each man and his wife and his children would be in their own ark. So when the flood came, it wouldn't have been one ark. It would have been many arks that would have been raised up. The same thing is true now. All these things we're preaching, you know, they're not exclusive to Olubi Johnson. They're not exclusive to Scripture Pastor. Anybody can go to the internet now, pick it up and start doing, build your own ark. So when the rain comes, instead of drowning you, it will raise you up. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? Joel chapter 2. Hello? I didn't hear you. What in the world is wrong with you this afternoon? If it's some silly canal thing now, you'll be excited. These are the things that are determining your destiny. Be glad then. This is verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Notice this is addressed to Zion. It's not even addressed to Jerusalem. It's not addressed to Israel. It's addressed to the perfect church, the bride of Christ. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. That is the Spirit with measure. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. It was moderate. He said, and he will cause. That's future. That's prophetic. That's what we're expecting now. He will cause to come down for you the rain. Watch this. The former and the latter rain in the first month. The word month is in italics because it's not there in the original Hebrew. What it means, he did it at first. That's the correct understanding. And what it means is that it's going to be exactly like it was in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. So like he did it at first, he's going to do it again now. He's going to give us the former and the latter rain together, which is the Spirit without measure. Are you listening to me? Now, it is directed to children of Zion. So he said, rejoice. And then he tells us the consequence, the overflow, the result of this great outpouring. Look at the harvest. The floors will be full of wheat. The fats will overflow with wine and oil. That is anointing and revelation. Healing, deliverance, all kinds of wonderful things. And I will restore. I didn't hear you. Oh, I didn't hear you. You should be screaming and shouting. And I will restore the years the locust has eaten. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. You are going to gain back years of waste. Years. You'll be able to get them back quickly. Glory be to God. Spiritual growth will accelerate. And you shall eat in plenty. If he's talking to you, give me a wave offering. Don't your neighbor say, I will eat in plenty. And he's not talking about food. He's talking about revelation. And you shall eat in plenty. And be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. I like that word, wondrously. It means there will be so many signs and wonders. And my people shall never be ashamed. If you look in some of the other translations, it says, and they shall never again be ashamed. New International Version, never again. It means we've been ashamed before. We've tried to raise the dead, they didn't get up. We've tried to pray for this, it didn't happen. you know, but that will never happen again. My people will never be ashamed with this outpouring that is coming. We will never be ashamed again. And he repeats it twice. The Holy Spirit through the prophet Joel. Look at the next verse. And you shall know. You will not think. Oh, you will not believe. You will know. Why? By manifestation. And you shall know. I didn't hear you. That I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God. And none else. And my people shall never be ashamed again. Give the Lord a super clap offering. Ah! Don't tell everybody, I'm not going to miss this part to you. This one, I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to miss it. Don't your neighbor say, stay in the upper room. Don't go and buy biscuits. I often, you know, it's one of the things that has marveled me over the years. Jesus told over 600 after his resurrection. It's written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Over 500. They didn't tell them all. You know, he appeared to John and Peter, you know, then he appeared to the 12. But he didn't stop there. He appeared, he was teaching them for 40 days, Pastor G. So he appeared to over 500 brethren. The stubbornness and the rebellion of the sin nature in the carnal mind still continues to amaze me. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. And what else do you want? The resurrected Christ was appearing to them over a 40-day period. And they saw him. And he told all the 500. Over 600. Wait in Jerusalem until you be endued. You know they didn't listen. Only 380. I have a new oxen. 5 yoke of oxen. I've married a wife. I have bought a piece of land. They said, with one accord, they began to make excuse. So when the day of Pentecost came, they were not there. That, by the grace and the mercy of God, will not happen to you. That's why I'm teaching what I'm preaching. That's why I told Poju. I said, what you've done is great. God is, I said, it's God who led you. It's because you didn't know it was Feast of Tabernacles. I said, God came to all these ministers. I said, he came to prepare them. And I told them. I said, if you will start. I said, God does not demand immediate perfection. What he demands is immediate commitment and practice. The last session, I did a practical session. I showed them how the life of God flows. And I gave them some sample prayers. Submission to the will of God, you know, keeping yourself humble, spirit of wisdom and revelation and love. There wasn't time to do all the others. I told them all the books. I said, go and get it. I said, start practicing it. The glory is coming. But only to those who are in the upper room. Who are practicing. Not perfect, but practicing. But practice it. You know the good news? Not only, this is great, Pastor G. We will have all of that, you know, oil, wine, wheat, great harvest, blessing, as all in Zion. But there will be an overflow to the world who are not in Zion, who are not even Christians. And that is the next verse in verse 28. And I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Watch this. We will get the spirit without measure. All flesh will continue to get the spirit with measure. Get them born again. Bring them in. Do the discipleship. And then you will now get in the spirit without measure. Give the Lord a clap offering. Only the wisdom of God. Oh, the depths of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Look at the next thing. They shall not be ashamed. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass, everybody scream afterward. After Zion has got the former and the latter rain, then afterward. Now, I know Peter quoted this on the day of Pentecost, but by the Holy Spirit, he didn't use afterward. He said in the last days. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knew that the last days had begun, and the beginning of the last days was announced by Pentecost, but is going to be closed by tabernacles. So when Peter quoted it, he quoted it as it shall come to pass in the last days. But the original prophetic word that was given to Joel is afterward. After Zion has received the former and latter rain, the Spirit without measure, then I will now take out of that and pour my Spirit. It's like when you have a cup or a container in a house. You put water, it gets full. Then you keep pouring it. Then it starts overflowing. So all the things around it. Imagine having a cup or a tumbler or something in your kitchen. You fill it and then you keep pouring the water. You don't stop. You know, what's going to happen is that everything around it will not get as much water as inside the cup. But it will start spilling around. So everything around it will start getting water. That's what's going to happen. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He didn't say all Christians. Your children, your in-laws, your relatives, the people in your workplace, you know, all flesh. Revival is coming, oh. Pastor Rhoda, this is what is meant. Upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The Spirit of God will come upon them. Oh, Shelemekara. They don't believe me. Unbeliever, not yet born again, but the evil Spirit of God will come upon them, like Saul. You know, in the Old Testament, they weren't born again, but the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he prophesied. And they will prophesy. Watch this. And your old men will dream dreams. And the young men will see visions. Do you know? Do you know that Cornelius saw a vision before he was born again? He saw a vision before he was born again. It's not just going to be restricted to people who are born again. It is the prophesying, the visions, the dreams that's going to bring them in. Because it will not be man that told them. It will be God. And when they come in, they will come with a zeal that you have never seen before. Everything they are told they will do. Because God would have spoken to them. By prophecy, by dream, by vision. And watch this, it's universal. It doesn't leave any group out. Sons and daughters, old men, young men, and women. So the entire spectrum of humanity, from the youth to the old, will be affected by the Spirit of God that is coming. Give the Lord a clap offering. Oh! That's this rain. That's why God is raining now. So that this thing will come to Zion. Then from Zion, it will overflow. Then will come to pass, I have it written here, that which is written in the prophets. Psalm 14 verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out. Give it to me. Psalm 14. That's it. Everybody screaming. Oh! Stand to your feet, everybody. We're going to close soon. Oh! I didn't hear you. That the salvation of Israel, which is the rest of the church, will come out of Zion. What is coming out of Zion will save the rest of the church. See, a lot of people are not listening to us now. But when the visions and the dreams and all of that start happening and the outpouring of the Spirit, people who have been arguing with you before, you know, will drop all their arguments. Like Derek Prince. that says that a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. See, like the blind man told him, they said, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. But one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. And if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That's going to happen. It's going to be multiplied in a million places. 10 million places all over the world. The outpouring of the Spirit. You won't be able to tell. There's no intellectual argument about religion. You know, your father believed this. The guy said, I don't know. But this one, I know. The glory is coming. Now let me tell you the downside. The glory doesn't like sin. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were killed by God. They're not killed by the devil. You know, people say God doesn't kill. You haven't read your Bible properly. Who killed Nabal? That's the husband of Abigail. The Bible says, and the Lord smote him. The glory is coming. That's why God is having us clean up now. Let's, brethren, clean up. You know what Paul told the Corinthians? He said, for those who have not repented, he said, when I come, he said, I will come with a rod. You know? He said, of those who have not repented, he said, you know, clean up yourself. I don't want to do anything terrible. But behave yourself. You know, people are afraid to come to church in those days. If you're an adultery, you won't come to church. They will single you out. They asked Ananias and Sapphira, did you sell the land for so much? They lied. The husband lied. It wasn't Peter that killed him. Stop blaming Peter. It was the Holy Ghost. It was just revealed to Peter. Then the wife came in. You know, if she was honest, she could have saved herself. I don't know if they had children or not. Maybe looked after their children. But she told a lie. She said, yes, for someone. He said, why that Satan entered thy heart? Born again, spirit-filled Christian. Can Satan enter your heart? He can't enter your spirit, but he can enter your mind. He can enter your will. He can enter your emotions. Why has Satan entered thy heart that thou shouldest lie to the Holy Ghost? Behold, the feet of them that took your husband to go and bury him there. You know, if it's today, say, the man didn't walk in love. We don't know what love is. Yes, if that thing happened in the church today, most people will criticize Peter. In fact, they won't call the police and say, this man killed, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, my uncle and my auntie. God will not make them your uncle and auntie. But I'm just giving, you know. Yes! They can't call police and say, you know, if it's today, this man, you know, he killed them. Peter didn't touch them. He just spoke. It's coming. With the glory, it's coming this. That's why I'm begging you, clean up. Unforgiveness, envy, covetousness, rebellion, pride, all, especially the inner ones that people can't see. Clean up. I deliberately got you to stand. I'm going to close in a minute. It's deliberate. Of course, not for the elderly or the infirm. I mean, if you're sick and all that kind of thing. Now, how is this thing going to happen? I've already said most of it, so I'm going to close. You need to break up your fallow ground. Let's go back to Hosea 10. Break up. Break up your sow to yourself in righteousness. What does that mean? Judge yourself. Judge yourself. Break up your fallow ground. That's your heart. It's talking about the mind, the will, the emotions. You know, all that hardness of heart, all that stubbornness. Break it up. Say, I judge myself. I taught us that some weeks ago. You know, I condemn my wicked actions and attitudes up to now. I crucify the sin nature in my soul and body that caused them. I receive mercy unto eternal life, to soften my heart, to enable me to repent and to be faithful, receiving wisdom and instruction, and so have victory over judgment. It's a complete package of confession, epignosis. You know, you break that heart, you break that fallow ground, that stubbornness, break it up. You know what? You will sow in righteousness, you will reap in mercy. That's what that scripture confession I just told you. Then now rain that is coming from heaven, that's coming from God through the leadership that comes upon you, will enable you to do righteousness. I've said it already, so I'll just finish it now. It will rain right standing by the blood of Jesus. Then it will rain right doing by giving you the life of God, so that you can keep the word in your mouth and in your heart, that thou mayest do it. So when you're faced with immorality, you say, I love righteousness and hate sin. You mortify to yourself. When you're faced with impatience, I am patient and I am kind. When you want to talk too much, you say, I'm swift to hear. I'm slow to speak and I'm slow to wrath. You know, that's why you have to be full of the word. So whatever situation you are faced with, the word of God that is relevant to that particular circumstance and situation will rise up in your heart, and then you will say it. Not shout, but just mutter. Then when people around you won't even know what you're doing. And you'll be effective because your heart is full of life and power. So when that word comes out, it will be effective. It will go into the power of that word will go into the mind, the will, the emotions, and into the physical body, and you will find that you are a doer. You're able to overcome those things. When it's sickness, you know, at my age now, not just my age, but, you know, sometimes I have a headache or something will come against me. You know, I get up in the morning and I start to feel one funny thing in my something. I've learned now. The first thing that comes out of my mouth is that by the stripes of Jesus' resurrection and power, I'm healed. I put my hand on that place. I say, you're healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And it disappears. I'm telling you the truth. So whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's prosperity, whether it's character, whether it's whatever it is, the relevant word of God, this book of the law, will not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it, what? Day and night, that you will observe to do according to all that is written therein, you know, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I'm done. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Lord, we welcome you.
You.
We welcome
Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. Repeat it again.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
We welcome you.
Let the wind, glory to God.
Let the wind.
Let the wind of your presence blow.
That your children hear. Let's sing that again. Please accomplish.
Please, please.
It's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's a prayer. Make it me.
Today,
some new work
of love.
New work of love.
And grace.
I pray.
Unreservedly.
Deadly have your way,
Holy Spirit. Make it personal.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
Please, one more time. Please.
In me
today
some new work
of love and grace. I pray
unreservedly have your way.
Oh hallelujah.
Oh Lord, we have
your way.
Holy Spirit. Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Lord, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
I welcome you.
I welcome you.
When I was ministering over this weekend, one of the things I said to them, I said, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He never forces. He knocks on your door. If you open, you let him, you come in. If you don't, he'll withdraw. You know, he's like a dove. Everything must be with your consent and with your cooperation. You are the one who makes the decision. Then the Holy Spirit will take hold together with you against. Let's pray. Say, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the prophetic truth and its imminent fulfillment in the outpouring of the Spirit without measure, the former and the latter rain together, in the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles that is just in front of us. Oh God, have mercy on me. I repent of sin of unbelief, where I have not believed your word. we have not believed your prophets. I receive mercy, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, life and power in sufficient measure as I pray. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Oh Lord, help thou my unbelief. I choose to believe your word. I choose to believe the prophets so that I will prosper in this Feast of Tabernacles that is coming. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me to begin to continue to seek your face in prayer, in one accord with my brethren, to bring down your glory, to inherit the power of the Spirit without measure, so that, Lord, I can be a blessing to humanity in these perilous times in our nation, Nigeria, and all over the world. Oh God, like Esther, I realize that I have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Labrika toska fridiga. Father, libreko sheliko go. Lord Jesus, apragar tu ontaga. Lord Holy Ghost, ipigi yangi kokoros. We thank you for your blood, labraga tuske frenes. Your life, rabia rosu frenengika. Your power, ranatungi tuske fredeska. Into our wills, lebraga sheliko go frenesk. Into our minds, labrera, rimantuns gefredea. Into our emotions, ringa tolomashaki, ramatolomara. Into our bodies, ricotofre, nongara, lopricitofridis, ningardoske, lombrea. La, into our circumstances, romembradaga, jelige gerenzoga, gogutus gefredea. Insufficient measure, rera, ricotos, rimbragala, lopridis. Nongra, nemprito fredes, lipritoske frenengara. In Jesus' name. I want to pray for the sick, because the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. If you are not here during the Bible study, or you just tuned in at home, and you're sick in your body, stretch forth your hands towards your device. The healing power of God always goes with the word of God. And God wants you strong and healthy and well. Be able to pray, fast, all the things that are necessary for discipleship. You can't do them effectively if you're sick. That's why Jesus, by his stripes, we were healed. Healing is a part of our covenant with God. It's one after the new birth, there's healing, then there's deliverance, then there's prosperity. Because all those things are necessary for us to be able to do what we've been commanded to do. We can't do all those things without, you know, health, without deliverance from oppressive spirits, without, you know, prosperity, financial wherewithal. We can't go to the nations. We can't make disciples. God knows that. That's why he made all those provisions. Not to spend it on our lusts. For he's given us power to get wealth, to establish his covenant upon the earth. Strike that hand. If you are home, stretch forth your hands towards your device. If you're here, just stretch forth your hands. I'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the healing power that is already in the air. The Bible says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Lord, I release that power into the physical bodies of all who are stretching their hands now in faith. In Jesus' name, I say, be thou made whole. And I come against spirits of fear, spirits of doubt, spirits of depression, discouragement, you know, of oppression. We cast you out from their souls and bodies. Destroy your works therein. And we bind you in Jesus' name. Leave them alone.